Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Welcome again, dear listener, handsome listener, clever listener, to another exciting episode of Zed Games. Roll call, Zed Gamers. Who's in here with me? Who's that right there? You there.
That's me. I'm Jody. Hi.
There's Jody. Who's that over there?
I'm Candy Payne.
There's Candy Payne. Who's that guy?
Razor.
Wait, and who am I?
You're Lee.
I am Lee.
Okay, on this episode of Zed Games, we'll be hearing about State of Decay. Lee and Candy have both been playing that game. Mm-hmm. We've also have an interview with Hands from 7-Bit Hero. He's performing this weekend in Brisbane as a part of Robotronica, so we'll be hearing all about him and 7-Bit Hero later in the show. But first, let's kick this episode off, as usual, with another week in news headlines. Please, Miss Candy Payne.
Thank you.
This is Zed Games News, bringing you gaming news headlines from Australia and around the world.
Deep Silver has announced a very special, very limited edition of Saints Row 4. The Million Dollar Pack, also known as the Super Dangerous Wadwad Edition, will be limited to only one edition and costs $1 million. As well as a copy of the game, the pack includes a full day of spy training, a trip to outer space with Virgin Galactic, a Toyota Prius, a Lamborghini Gallardo, and a shopping spree with a personal shopper.
There's also, I think there's plastic surgery in there as well.
I feel like that's what's missing from
that. No, you get plastic surgery.
Do you know what? I read that and just had to check my calendar to make sure this wasn't April Fool's because that almost just sounds ridiculous.
Well, if you had $1 million, why would you need the personal shopping? That's the only thing that bothers me.
Isn't it? You get a shopper, though, someone who comes along and does.
But surely you could afford to hire a shopper if you had $1 million.
I think it might be a really good deal. Like, for $1 million, I think the combined value of the cars and the spaceship trip.
Yeah, no, those I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have that collectively between us? How much could you get on a loan,
Jody? Not even close.
You seem pretty affluent. Look at that. Look at that jacket.
I get at least $6.
Yeah, okay.
Sega Studios Australia, located in Brisbane, has this week shut down. Formerly known as Creative Assembly Australia, the studio was responsible for the critically acclaimed Medieval Total War 2. New Xbox One fact, the motion-detecting Kinect peripheral will no longer need to be attached and switched on for the Xbox One console to function.
So this is now a console that has nothing exciting or new about it at all. They have backflipped on every idea that they initially brought to the table.
Wait, it still has the Kinect, it's just now it can be turned off.
Yeah, but isn't it? It's no longer now a requirement. Like, it's...
It will still ship with every single Xbox One, so... Yeah, everyone's going to have one, so that won't stop developers from utilising it.
Yeah.
It's what the people wanted.
Yes, that's true.
Microsoft have delivered.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the news. Next up, Lee and Candy will be discussing State of Decay. You're listening to Zed Games.
State of Decay is by Jeff Strain's Undead Labs. It is a third-person open-world game set during some kind of zombie outbreak. Mm-hmm. And it focuses more on the gathering of resources and the securing a base and exploration rather than so much the zombie combat. And it has an interesting relationship with entropy. The name State of Decay is very, very accurate. Just came out not too long ago in Australia on Xbox Live Arcade, and one day it might come to the PC. Candy, tell me about your experiences with this game.
Now, I find this game very interesting because this is a discussion that we have had amongst ourselves on air and off air many, many times. If this were a real situation, who would survive amongst us and how? And that's pretty much how this whole game plays out. It's how do you survive? There is no second chance. If you get bitten, you die. If you get eaten, you die. It's brutal, but it's really interesting. All of the things that I imagined I would be doing in a zombie situation, I've had to reassess, and I've changed my tactics. I thought I would be the person running around in the car as long as possible and just reversing over zombies, going, you know, killing all the hordes. That's great. Mm-mm. I've become a creeper. I creep around quietly. I hide in bushes.
I always knew you had it in you.
Yeah, well, and I'm doing really well. I'm kicking ass out there. Yeah. I am beating zombies like there is no tomorrow, and I'm doing really well in this game.
Yeah, it's a really great game. It has an approach to this topic that I don't think we've really encountered before.
No.
It's got that whole sort of, you have a base, and it's full of people, and you have to make sure that everyone's getting along, and you've got to build up and add new things for your base. But at the same time, there's this constant attrition that's going on because it takes food and it takes resources to maintain a base, so you have to go out and scrounge for things. But scrounging, you know, that costs resources as well, because if if you're too loud, that's going to alert the zombies are going to come. Beating a zombie in the head is going to wear your weapon down, so you are constantly working against the forces of decay more so than zombies.
It's a little more realistic in the fact that in a lot of games, you can walk around and carry multiple items and never get tired, never need to rest, any of that. This, however, weighs your backpack down as well. So whenever you pick something up, you notice that the weight is getting heavier and heavier, and that affects you really quickly. If you run for 3 seconds, you're doubled over panting like you're the most unfit person in the world because you're carrying 20 kilos of stuff in your back. So I find those sorts of things really interesting. And but the only thing, it doesn't really give you a chance to rest. It's not like I can walk up to a bed and have a nap and build that stamina up. You just kind of need to stop and walk around and wait and, you know.
Yeah, well, the other thing that you can do to counter the fact that you do get exhausted with the more exploration that you do is you can swap out with other people in your community if they like you enough.
I was doing that until I killed them all. So now I've got no one else to swap with.
Oh my God, who are you?
Look, it wasn't my fault. We fell in a ditch, the car overturned, and she got eaten. Right? Wasn't my fault. I swear it wasn't my fault. I was busy defending the fat guy that couldn't run. So that's what happened. I got no one to swap characters with. So now I kind of just have to feed my guy, give him medicine, and let him rest a while.
Okay, so I mean that's...
So that can happen. That's a thing.
That's an example of how things can go desperately wrong, I guess. I thought that I was sort of not doing too great because I was sort of constantly having to return and make sure that everyone was happy, and there was, you know, I was, you would, if people get too upset, maybe they're getting anxious, they're getting sad, you take them out to an area where there are a bunch of zombies, and you kill some zombies with them so that they let off some steam, and then you have this little conversation, and then you go back home and everyone's happy.
I did that today. It's oddly therapeutic. I took somebody out and I was like, so what's happening? You know, it's a character talking. So what's happening? Are you feeling a bit down? I noticed you're not as smiley as you were yesterday. Of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we go out to a field and then there's just like 60 zombies, have at it.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought that was a little strange, but I had a lot of fun and oddly therapeutic. I felt a lot better by the end of that killing spree.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where you experience success in tiny, small, random doses, and most of the game you're kind of on edge because you have to keep making these decisions. Do I keep pressing forward, you know, to try and complete this mission or get to this new mission, or do I go home because now I'm sort of a little bit overloaded? Maybe I've taken a couple of hits more than I really want to.
Yep.
Every failure that occurs really does cause you to reevaluate what you can do and how far you can push it, but maybe pushing it is going to be enough so that then you get that huge advantage. You know, maybe you find some really cool weaponry or a lot of food or ammunition, and you have to keep balancing these things. I think that it does an amazing job of putting you inside that kind of scenario in a way that I don't think any other game ever has.
You are listening to Zed Games, heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
That was a track from the State of Decay soundtrack by Jesper Kidd, and we're still talking about State of Decay. Candy and Lee have been playing it. Guys, what else would you like to say about State of Decay?
Let's talk about combat, Candy.
Yeah, let's. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
It's a little slow moving for my liking. I've learned how to use the gun quick enough. That's great. It's more that I don't like... It's not so much the combat that I don't like. It's kind of how I get to be holding blunt objects to hit them with or having to refill my gun. Those sorts of things I just find very cumbersome and slow moving to do.
It's very clumsy, but I mean that's on purpose because you're not a combat specialist. You're a person who has a makeshift weapon,
yeah,
who doesn't know how to use a gun, who shouldn't be fighting zombies, who's out there trying to gather stuff.
I know, I get that. But when I pause to look at my map or I pause to, you know, refill a gun, I kind of want the game to pause. I'm one of those people. But and it doesn't. That's... And I'm getting bitten while it's happening and it's taking, you know, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It's just taking me a while to get my head around that because I want things to stop while I'm reassessing where I am or how much ammo I have on me.
Yeah, like it's not super friendly to you in that regard, but I think, I mean, all of that is by design and I don't think it's unbalanced in that way because one of the things that I find interesting about it is that, yes, when you look at your map, the game doesn't pause for you. Reloading takes quite a while and you can fumble and going through your inventory. Even just like the actual act of looting is a really, really stressful thing because you're there going through stuff and then you're moving things into your inventory and the game is active the whole time. But those things are major gameplay moments. The fact that you are focusing on something so intently that you can't pay attention to your environment. Like, that is actually what the whole game is about.
I know, it makes me nervous. Yeah. And it's not, I don't often feel nervous and a little bit scared in games. But knowing that things are still happening around me while I can't see it, that's what's putting me on edge a little bit. But
one thing that has changed this for me, actually, and I think for the better, is that initially when the game came out, there was a lot of complaints that the game really needs co-op because, like, this is the kind of thing that would just be beautiful with another person. But what they've added with the most recent patch, as of I think 2 days ago, is that now you can ask other people who are in your community if they like you enough to come along with you, and they'll watch your back. So, if you had a friend, Candy,
I don't have a friend. That's the problem.
If you had a friend, and you can go out and get more friends. There are 20 story people in the environment, and there are 30 30. Yeah. Random other people that you can seek in missions, and you know they're kind of located around the place, so you can get a huge community to keep an eye on. But you can always have someone there guarding your back, and I found that this has made the game a lot more interesting. It's really very much a community kind of thing, and if you can't maintain that community, if you are too gung-ho or if you accidentally throw a Molotov cocktail at your friend and they run away on fire like happened to me today, you may find yourself, you know, short a homie when you need one.
As for the combat itself, it is slow moving and it's funny how it really does make me feel like I'm actually in that situation because I get tired very quickly and I don't like that. I want my guy to just be able to run a little bit faster for a little bit longer without being like, panting and, oh my God, doubled over in pain and, you know, and then suddenly there's six zombies on top of him. But then,
that's all about ensuring that you have enough like snacks with you to keep your stamina up, and then you can improve your athleticism through doing stuff as well. Like, it has so many little layered systems, one on top of another, that even though these things, like, it's hard, these are challenging things, but those are challenges that the whole game is all about.
Man, filling my backpack has, like, strained my brain. What the hell do I put in there? Do I carry snacks and chips in case, you know, do I carry coffee? Do I put bullets in there?
Yeah.
I put a wrench in there to hit some zombies with, and, like, I've lost 10 kilos. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that in itself is messing with my mind because I don't know what I should be carrying. And light is good, but, you know, I need
to be able to carry stuff back as well. How do you do
it? Listeners, I would love to know, if you're playing this, what sort of things are you carrying? Do you go for weapons or do you want stamina so that you can keep running, i.e. are you putting chips and apples in your bag or that sort of, it's messing with my head.
I really like that because it's a little detail that you would actually have to face if you only had a backpack and a few items, like which of these items are most important, and I think it's cool to explore that aspect of it.
Zombies climb in this game.
Yeah.
FYI, everybody. Uh-oh. That's not cool. Yeah. Zombies don't climb. Everybody knows.
They smash through windows and they...
climbed over barbed wire. Yeah. What the hell?
And every time you open a door, one leaps at you. Oh my God. Zombies everywhere and they're great. So look, shall we summarize State of Decay, Candy? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Aside from the glitches, it's really interesting. It really makes you think about your own personality. And if this were a real life situation, you'd totally have to reassess what you thought were your priorities.
Yep.
And that I like. It's more of a thinking game than a like blood and guts, kill 'em up zombies sort of thing.
Also, there's a lot of blood and guts and killing up of zombies.
There is, but I've, you know, we've played more gruesome. It's actually not that gruesome to look at.
There's a lot of dismemberment.
Again, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's cool. Great. It's great. Yeah. State of Decay. I think if you are interested in The Walking Dead or any kind of zombie sort of, you know, that community zombie story, this is going to capture it a lot more than a lot of other games that incorporate zombies in them. This is really a very cinematic zombie experience. And
it's all about strategy, really. Yeah. Strategy and survival.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. State of Decay, you should check it out.
Cool. Well, thanks for that review, guys. Next on the show, we'll be hearing from Hans from 7-Bit Hero. He's got a gig coming up this weekend, so we'll be hearing all about that.
Next on Zed Games, we're going to be playing an interview with Hans, who is the lead singer of a bit pop band called 7-Bit Hero, and they are playing at an event called Robotronica here in Brisbane, which is the Robot Festival.
I'm on the line with Hans van Vliet. He's the man behind 7-Bit Hero, an interactive pop experiment blending the experiences of music and video games, as well as creative director of Pennytime, a skateboarding slash runner for the iOS released last year. Hans, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem, man.
For the listener unfamiliar with 7-Bit Hero, how would you describe it?
It's classically a bit pop band, but we kind of are a bit sarcastic and a bit tongue-in-cheek on stage with the whole computer game vibe. And then we also mash together this thing that we're kind of calling gig gaming, where you come along and you actually play computer games timed to a soundtrack that we're providing for you.
Was there a moment that you came up with the concept, or is this simply a natural product of the fact that you are both a musician and a games developer?
Years ago, I was thinking, man, this would be really neat to try and pull off, and then I started moving towards getting better at making games, and then once I kind of got that team together, I kind of pitched it to them, and then we kind of naturally have started laying all the foundations for it now. So yeah, it definitely was an idea 8 years ago.
So with 7-Bit Hero, you launched your EP, We Eat Loot, earlier this year. It was a terrific show, but some technical difficulties meant that the interactive element of the show didn't work as expected. What went wrong that night?
There's a lot of wireless. Let's just say wireless. It's a very fickle beast.
So it was just an issue of so many people being connected to the Wi-Fi at the same time?
That, and I'm going to blame Windows. Like, we normally run it on a Mac, and at the last moment, we actually had to run it on a Windows machine. And so, I don't know, some funkiness was going on, and I think a combination of that and I think just the Wi-Fi band, like the way that it was being broadcast on the day.
So you've had some success getting the app working at your recent shows at PAX?
Yeah, it's gone really well. We played down in Tasmania. We had about 150 people connected, and everyone was playing with that. And then at PAX, we had a similar amount in, and then we had another great technical moment, which we've learnt from, which is frequency banning, which is like each wireless has its own frequency that it sits on, and PAX had a really powerful frequency band that was actually knocking everything else out, which is cool because you don't know until you actually go ahead and put this together what's going on.
So now that you've got that sorted out, what has the response been like from people who participated in the concert?
At PAX, we probably had our most coolest feedback, but one guy compared it to watching the movie The Sixth Sense, and spoilers alert, what happens at the end he comes to a realization that he's something that he's not. I won't spoil it too much. And this guy had the exact same epiphany during our set. He didn't understand really what was going on and was like, wow, these guys have a theme, the graphics keep coming back, and this is really neat. And then at the end, when we brought this winner up on stage, he was like, oh my goodness, everyone's playing the game? So he came up and shook me really hard. I'm like, it's cool, man. But and so that was really lovely, and I think that in a combination with the band, I that you know produces the sound and stuff like that, it's a really dynamite combination.
Are there any plans to make the games more complex as the project grows, or do you think that it would distract the audience too much from the music that's being played?
This is really, this is really a big discussion we're having currently, actually. What we're doing is we are 100% community on all of this stuff. So we'll be walking with everyone as we put everything out from here on in. We want to make sure it has many entry levels, hardcore game players all the way down to insert someone that embarrasses you that can't use technology here can come along and actually engage with it too. So, you know, we may have to pick pockets of songs that are simpler and then there's more hardcore things going on. But we're thinking there's so much that you can do with the scope once you've got the framework in place, which is our focus at the moment, that we're hoping we'll be able to cater this cool community of, you know, bringing about. And all that to say, like, if we're playing at a really hardcore place, I think we would only choose hardcore games, which are a little bit more elaborate to play. And then if we're playing at a more, like, family-friendly place or something like that, we'd probably choose games that are easier, like pressing a button on the screen.
So can you describe for me some of the games that you have in your current set and how they relate to the music?
Yeah, the best example is a song called Caring Hurts, and it basically is a song about trying to look after a cactus, and you constantly just want to give it love, and the more you give it love, like, by hugging it, you actually end up hurting yourself, and it hurts you, and it can't do anything about it. So the game that runs alongside of that is just, you're kind of halfway through the act of hugging and everyone's bawling their eyes out, so there's 32 players that are just crying. Your tears are actually making it grow, and then at the same time it's trying to hurt you, and you've got to duck and bury yourself underground and then pop back up. And it kind of ties together with the song in this really nice way, and then at the end it just makes an announcement that caring can hurt.
And this Sunday, the 18th of August, 7-Bit Hero is performing as part of Robotronica at QUT Gardens Point campus in Brisbane, Queensland. The event here is described as an epic robotic spectacular providing jaw-dropping visions of the future. I've got to say, I'm intrigued. Can you tell me more?
We were asked to play here. I kind of did that shut up and take my money moment. Robots. I love robots, Astro Boy, all of that stuff. But that was my jam growing up. So it has quadcopters there. There's about, I think there's a group of 40 swarming quadcopters that have LED lights, and they create geometrical shapes in the sky. And we're actually providing the soundtrack for some of them. And as they kind of go up, which is like, I've never done anything like that before, having these flying robots dance for that. And then there's this guy, and I've forgotten his name, but he cloned himself in robot form. And he's doing an experiment basically on how our emotions are impacted by something that looks very human, but still behaves like an android. And this guy, the android, is going to MC us on stage. And I don't know, I think this is like the highlight of my life right now. Just because it's off doesn't mean you're boss. Your brain goes in my heart. Just because I'm there doesn't mean you care. Your brain goes in my star. Just because it's off doesn't mean you're boss. For our listeners in other parts of Australia, any plans for a tour in the near future? Yeah, definitely. We're actually currently planning a few things out now. we do it, it'll probably happen around October. We're hoping to do Sydney, Melbourne and Tasmania again. But we'll see. We'll see. And we'll keep you guys really informed on that.
Excellent. And where can we go to check out 7-Bit Hero online?
The best place is just 7bithero.com, and then just click around on links, and then you can go to also 7bithero.bandcamp.com if you want to purchase the music.
And thank you so much for speaking with Zed Games today. I know you're pretty busy at the moment.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's awesome. It's a fire that we love that makes us shine. It's what makes us greater than the beast.
Welcome back, listeners. It's so good to have you here. You, of course, are sitting here with Razor, Candy Payne, Lee and Jody, and we just listened to an interview with Hans from 7-Bit Hero.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Zed Games for another week. Thanks again for your company. We'll be back next week. Now, next week, we've got a special guest on the show, Ben Huckster from Mini Mega. His game was brought to attention due to the fact that it got ripped off by a Chinese knockoff artist and put on the Google Play Store. He's going to be here to tell us all about his story, about how that happened and what the unexpected consequence of that happening was when he posted that on Reddit. So that's pretty interesting story,
interesting.
And I'm looking forward to that next week. And also a big hello to our new listeners joining us around Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Bless you all.
Now we're going to hear now a track from 7-Bit Hero. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
So long.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net, that's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.